Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
Because it turns out that our mind is essentially responsible for everything. Your mind is creating your experience of reality all the time. There's never a moment when you are not in your mind. Even when you say to things like, I feel like I'm going out of my mind, you're still in your mind. And if your mind is an unhappy mind, then you're having an unhappy experience. If your mind is a happy mind, you're having a happy experience, and so on. And unfortunately, one of the things that characterizes us in our ordinary way of perceiving ourselves and others in this world is that we don't know much about our own mind. In fact, we've spent almost in general, unless I suspect you've been coming here, but in general, we know almost nothing about our own mind, because what we do is we use our mind constantly to look at other things, mostly our phone, but also other things. We're constantly observing phenomena that seem to be appearing outside of our mind. Visual forms, shapes, colors, smells, tastes, touch, and then, of course, a lot of reflections about those things constantly. But almost never are we encouraged within our society to explore the mind itself. And then even when it is, it's more like we're talking about our experiences and reflecting back on our experiences, not directly looking at what is your mind. And there are huge consequences to this, because by not knowing and understanding our mind, which is the basis of our reality, we don't really understand our reality. In fact, I think we can go ahead and say we misunderstand our reality. And according to Buddha, this is the source of all our problems. All our suffering is actually coming because we do not understand the relationship between our mind and the world. And another outcome of this is, because we don't understand our mind, we don't understand its nature, we actually don't understand how incredibly flexible the mind is. And we tend to relate to our mind as if it's quite set in its ways, to the extent to which, you know, if we have certain tendencies, maybe we have a tendency towards unhappiness, depression, maybe we have a tendency towards being annoyed, maybe we have a tendency towards having a lot of attachment, a lot of cravings, maybe we have a tendency towards being depressed, annoyed, and having a lot of cravings. What happens is that after a while we become so familiar with those tendencies that we just simply think, that's the way my mind is. That's the nature of my mind. My mind is an unhappy mind, or my mind is an out-of-control mind, an angry mind, an insecure mind, a hurt mind, an anxious mind. And that's me. So in other words, we identify with those limited, and in many cases painful, states of mind, and that we think, well, that's it. And then we just do our best to somehow accommodate that, as we sort of roll along through life. And that's a huge shame, because it turns out that the nature of our mind, if you take the time to really absorb into it and experience it and understand it, the nature of our mind is extraordinary. There's an incredible potential that is natural to the mind. And this is what we spoke about last week in the introduction. There's incredible potential that's natural to the mind, we could say, for the fulfillment of all our wishes. What are our wishes? I want a better car. I want a better job. Yeah, okay. But what you really want is happiness. What everybody wants is happiness. It's just we're associating sometimes the happiness with a better car or more money or a change of situation in some form or another. But everybody, all the time, literally all the time, wants to be happy. There's no point when you don't want to be happy. So it's interesting, if you agree with that, we all want to be happy all the time. So we can basically say that directly and indirectly, we're trying to be happy, trying to create the causes for happiness all the time, and very few people are happy. Or when they are happy, they're only happy temporarily, and find that ourselves often caught up in problems and disappointments and conflicts and so on. So what is that telling us? If we have the potential to be happy, but we keep ending up not happy, it's telling us we're going about it in the wrong way. We really need to investigate the nature of the mind and discover our personality, our identity, and therefore the experiences we're having in our life are by no means fixed. We have an unbelievable potential for change, for transformation. But all of that hinges upon getting to know your own mind. Otherwise, it's just me kind of coming out with Facebook memes, you know, like, woo, we can change, we can transform, yay, you know, all together now. And then you walk out of here and you just feel like, well, I felt temporarily uplifted, but guess what? It's just me and my mind again, and it's still depressed, and it's still anxious, and it's still annoyed. But if we go in there and explore, then we can see for ourselves the incredible potential that exists within our mind and how it's possible to let go of the painful states, because they are not as fixed and ingrained as we believe them to be. In fact, there's a natural source of peace and happiness, always there, always, just awaiting, just a little bit below the surface of the mind, so to speak. Naturally there. In fact, all you need to do is let the mind settle, and there it is. And that becomes like our building block for a whole new approach to fulfilling our wishes, where you start building happiness from within and learning as a result to bring your happiness with you wherever you go. That's the best way to live. If you want to have a guaranteed good night out, bring your own happiness. Then regardless of whether you're stood up or not, you know, regardless of whether you ended up in a situation that you found enjoyable or not, actually, you're bringing your own happiness. So, what are we going to be looking at tonight? So what I want to do tonight is introduce the meditation on the nature of the mind, and then we're going to go ahead and do the meditation on the nature of the mind, sometimes called meditation on the clarity of the mind. So this meditation comes from within the sort of vast amount of practices taught by Buddha. It comes from within a kind of special set of practices taught by Buddha, and particularly revealed within his very highest teachings, when he taught what we sometimes call the quick path to enlightenment, his tantric teachings. And there's a special term for this set of teachings called Mahamudra. So Geshe Kelsang has one book here called Mahamudra Tantra, in which this meditation is described on page 100. Mahamudra. So Mahamudra is a Sanskrit word. very deep, unbelievably profound. In fact, if you realize Mahamudra, not just understand it intellectually, but if you actually have the experience of Mahamudra in your heart, then you possess what is the quick path to enlightenment. Maha means great. And it's referring to an incredible experience when you understand fully the nature of your mind, a state of mind known as great bliss. So the Maha is referring to great bliss. So I've already explained, and we meditated on last week, we'll meditate on again in a little bit, that when you allow the mind to settle, the mind naturally settles into a peaceful state. And that peaceful state is actually in the very nature of happiness. When your mind is peaceful, you're happy. Yay! You can do that anywhere, by the way. It's free. Because you bring your mind with you, whether you like it or not, you bring your mind with you everywhere you go. And if you stop just sitting there going blah, 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 blah in the mind like we normally do, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, like this, like you can do this on the train ride home if you take the train. You can do this anywhere. But like, there you are sitting in the same place. So let's say there's 20 or 30 people together in one carriage, right, on the train. You're 30 people together in the same place. And of course, what happens on a train ride, especially if you don't have to get off the next stop, is you sort of like drift into yourself, don't you? And people just start ambling along in their mind. So it's 30 people in the same place and nowhere near each other, even though they're sitting like this. Everybody's mind is where? Who knows? You don't necessarily want to know. But just rambling along, you know? So what you could try to do this time is, and this is the technique we learned last week, we're going to learn again, we're going to practice again, just stop. Stop following your thoughts. You don't repress, you don't push, you don't get uptight. Very relaxed, you just disengage. Disengage. So that instead of going from thought to thought to thought to thought to thought to thought, you kind of just go like thought, thought. Thoughts are still going to come, you know, but you're not like jumping on board and getting lost in it for a little while. It's just like you're letting go, you're letting go, you're letting go. Very gentle. And naturally what happens then is now you're creating space. Like a space begins to arise in your mind. A spaciousness. And what you want to do is just allow yourself to hang out there. And then naturally the mind will settle into that spaciousness. And as we'll do in a little bit in our meditation, you then just can turn your attention to that experience and discover, hey, there's peace there. Like a good feeling. And what you want to do is just like focus on that. Again, not like aggressively, not get tense, just hang out, just like paying attention to this nice, peaceful feeling in your heart. If you do that, and this is like a skill you have to learn, but after a while you find that you can actually just stay with it. And what happens is that experience of peace begins to expand because you're paying attention to it. If you pay attention to an annoying sound, it expands, doesn't it? Until you get really annoyed. But if you pay attention to a peaceful feeling, that expands. And you are beginning to recognize through your own experience, first of all, you've got your own natural source of peace and happiness. And secondly, you have a huge potential for greater peace, greater happiness. It's just a case of paying attention. So why am I saying this? Because that's just for starters. So, for example, in another one of Geshe Kelsang's books on Mahamudra, I'm going to be drawing from all three of these books for this particular series. There's another one here called Clear Light of Bliss, which is also about Mahamudra, and then this one, The Oral Instructions of Mahamudra. These are not books I would say, like, if you're new, this is not where I'd recommend that you start. These are quite advanced books, but for this meditation, I'm referring to them. And in here, Geshe Kelsang, when he's talking about Mahamudra and talking about this meditation, he starts off by explaining the mind has different levels. So normally when we're talking about our mind, we're talking about the mind that you're experiencing right now. which is a waking consciousness, because you're awake, I'm presuming. You're awake. Some of you may be asleep, in which case you're experiencing a more subtle state of mind. So we say there are actually three levels of consciousness in general. There's a waking consciousness, which is your most gross state of mind, meaning you're most easily to recognize, most manifest. Then there's when you're dreaming, then you're in a subtle mind. And there are lots of different levels of subtle mind, but one of them is a dreaming consciousness. It's more subtle, isn't it? It's kind of very manifest when you're in it, but you find it difficult to use it and to remember it and so forth, because it's subtle. And then there's the most subtle level of mind, which is the mind that you experience in deep sleep. And I'm pointing here because what happens when you fall asleep, as we say, is that your inner energies begin to absorb inwards through a network of channels until you arrive at your heart channel wheel, your heart chakra, your heart center. And the very subtle mind is located there. And that mind is known as the mind of clear light. Clear light mind. That mind is completely non-conceptual. It's not a thinking mind. It's like pure experience. So we go into it every night when we fall asleep, probably several times, because we kind of then go out into a dream state, and then maybe we go back into the clear light state. But we can't remember it, because you and I, unless you've been practicing tantric meditation for quite a while, have not developed subtle mindfulness, in particular very subtle mindfulness, which means the ability to make use of and remember when you're in those deep states of mind. So unfortunately, we just pass through them without being able to harness them, to make use of them. So far, so good. So what that means is that, you know, if you have a restful sleep, that's because you actually spent some time in the very subtle mind, because that kind of just naturally balances you out and you have like a very deep, relaxed experience, and then you kind of come out of that and you feel quite rested. Other times, you know that experience when you've gone through a whole night and yet you wake up more tired than when you went to bed because your mind was so occupied, you know, because you weren't spending much time deep down. You were quite superficial, so to speak, in your sleep. So the very subtle mind is just very naturally peaceful. It's very naturally focused. In fact, it's pure concentration if only you could harness it. And it's in the nature of great bliss. Woo. To me, I just find this the most wonderful piece of information. And I just think it's quite sad that in our society, we have almost zero awareness of this. Why? Because basically, I think increasingly, you know, with especially the whole push towards like believing that somehow we're just robots with feelings, you know, this kind of whole idea that you're just a computer, you know, with feelings, is we're sort of increasingly going towards this unbelievably materialistic perspective take on life. And meanwhile, what all the great meditators who we might say are explorers of consciousness, to an extraordinary degree. I mean, these folks were serious over the generations. They spent a lot of time in deep, deep meditation, excavating, so to speak, the nature of consciousness and being able to experience extraordinary states and then report back and explain how to get there yourself and so on. And that's been confirmed generation after generation after generation. And in our society, unfortunately, as we become more and more sort of grossly materialistic, we're ignoring all that. And it's such a shame, because what they're explaining is that the deeper in you go to the mind, the better it gets. And I would say that's literally the opposite of what we're told. Our society's whole kind of orientation is, don't go in there. It's dangerous in there. That's a dangerous neighborhood, you know. Don't go in there. Stay out. Look at stuff. Listen to things, smell stuff, touch stuff, look at more stuff. In fact, just keep looking. Binge looking. And it's a shame, because literally the solution to all our problems lies right in here. The very nature of your mind at its most essential is bliss, or maybe we don't really even get what that means, but like just pure happiness. Pure happiness. That's the nature of our being.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.